With hundreds of New Yorkers being admitted to hospitals around the state every day due to COVID-19 complications, and about three dozen upstate hospitals now with at least 90% of their beds occupied, we wanted to get a snapshot of the landscape facing New York's hospitals. And to do that, we're checking in with Michael Stapleton, President and CEO of the University of Rochester Medicine Thompson Health. Mike, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Happy to join you.
So, for starters, can you explain to listeners the vast array of facilities and services that UR Medicine Thompson Health provides out in the Finger Lakes region?
Yep. So we're a 113-bed acute care hospital. We have a 178-bed nursing home. We have a 48 apartment, enriched living apartments, 84 independent living apartments. We've got three urgent cares. We have primary care practices throughout the region in several different localities. We're the largest employer in Ontario County. We employ over 1,800 people. And, you know, our total revenue is well over $200 million. So we admit about, when you look at between admissions and observations, about 72 to 7,300 people to the hospital a year. But we take care of about 6,000 outpatients a week. So we're pretty similar to the vast majority of community hospitals and hospitals across the country, where, you know, the vast majority of the work we do is outpatient, but obviously the higher acuity patients is the inpatient volume we take care of. And we were very fortunate last year, right in the middle of COVID, we expanded our ICU from a 7-bed ICU to a 12-bed ICU, which has been really instrumental in taking care of the higher acuity population that we've been seeing over the last 20 months.
Well, then let's talk about that ICU capacity. What is it like right now as we speak on December 1st?
It's full, like it's been every day. You know, we really have a perfect storm happening here in hospitals across New York State and across the country, in that we are seeing unprecedented volume. And people need to understand, so we are licensed to have 113 open beds. But with the larger shift over the years to more outpatient care, hospitals have actually decreased the number of inpatient beds they staff. So pre-COVID, we were only staffing 90 of those beds. We have been fortunate with our staffing to be able to increase that with decisions we've made up to 102. So on a daily basis now, we're staffing 102 beds. This morning, we've got 110 patients in the hospital, and I have 12 boarders in the emergency department. And boarders are our patients who need to come into the hospital, and we simply do not have space for them on the inpatient side. So you've got just the simple volume of patients coming in. What is also exacerbating this problem is that there are just simply no nursing home beds in our community. And all of hospitals that I know, that I've talked to in Western New York and the Finger Lakes region, and as we are experiencing, we have these large numbers of what are called ALC patients. So these are patients who are in our acute care beds, who no longer need acute care. They need a nursing home, but there's not enough nursing home beds to send them to. You know, at times we've heard in Monroe County that 24 of the 36 nursing homes are not accepting new patients. I know that there's hundreds of beds in Ontario County, nursing home beds, that are not staffed. They don't have the staff to staff them. So you've got all of these patients who need long-term care, but there's nowhere to send them. So there, that, you know, you can look almost on a daily basis, the number of ALC patients I have in my inpatient beds, that correlates to the number of boarders that we have in our emergency room. So if you are really going to look at what is the public health crisis, in my opinion, it is the fact that we do not have enough long-term care beds. And then that gets exacerbated by the fact of the COVID numbers. I mean, we're seeing more COVID numbers than we've ever had. This morning, we have 24 COVID patients in the hospital. 19 of them are positive, 5 of them are recovered. Of those 24, 19 are unvaccinated, 5 are vaccinated. So 80% of the total COVID patients in the hospital are unvaccinated. And, you know, what I have said all along to people from day one is you have two choices. You either get vaccinated or you get COVID. And, you know, our staff are stressed. They're so tired. We have been doing this for now 20 months. I mean, we've had our incident command open for 20 months. And of course, our staff has been impacted by all this. We've lost a lot of people because of burnout. We've lost a lot of people because of the vaccine mandate. We lost a lot of people when the religious exemption was taken away. So we're dealing with unprecedented volume with less staff. Pre-COVID, out of 1,800 people, I would have about 90 open positions. I have 281 this morning. you know, the governor's office comes out with the limiting surgeries, right? We did that 2 months ago. I've closed 33% of our ORs. I've closed 50% of our procedure units so that we can flex staff into the ED and MedSurg to take care of this surge in patients. And, you know, when you think about it, you know, what we've been talking about a lot, you know, among my colleagues is we're really starting to have some ethical dilemmas because you have patients who are taking up acute care beds who do not need acute care, but now we're canceling surgeries. These patients need their care, you know, and I have a firm belief, this is just simply my belief, that when the historians write about this 5 to 10 years from now, one of the things they're really going to come out with is how many people were negatively impacted by putting off care. Because people have been putting off care through all this, whether at the very beginning when the horrendous message came out that basically said, hey, stay out of hospitals, protect us so we can protect you. So many people put off necessary care. And we're seeing that on a regular basis. And I, as the leader of this organization, are getting very, very concerned about that as more time goes by. And this is just the tip of the spear, in my opinion. You know, this whole post-holiday surge is only going to get worse. What we're experiencing today is going to be worse. Next week is going to be worse. The week after. And then what everybody also has to realize, we could have a flu season this year. We were very, very fortunate to not have basically had no flu season last year. You know, we have a flu season this year on top of everything else. It's kind of along the lines, I don't know what we're going to do. But to just summarize all that, and I know I just kind of rambled on wild, this is a long-term care problem more than anything else. We can't get patients out of the hospital. We can't get them out of the hospital. They back up our ED. And patients have to board an RED for a prolonged period of time. It's happening across the state and across the country.
Okay, so there's a lot to unpack there, but let me first reintroduce you for listeners. We're speaking with Michael Stapleton. He's the president and CEO of UR Medicine Thompson Health. Let's start by rewinding back to bed capacity. In a normal winter, pre-COVID, how many vacant beds might you traditionally see in order to ensure that you can accommodate any sort of surge in need?
Yeah. So this is a normal thing that we do every day, pre-COVID, during COVID, and we'll continue to do after COVID. You know, when you're dealing with a community hospital, you can have, in any hospital, you can have significant fluctuations in your inpatient volume, depending on what's going on in the community, whether it's a flu season or even just a normal, you know, virus that would go through your community. So we surge and flex all the time. And, you know, prior to all of this, you know, we had gotten up to 102 patients. That was back when we only staffed 76 beds. Mm-hmm. So what did we do? We flexed. We pulled our quality nurses who are, you know, on the quality realm who also have a nursing background to help in the ED. You would pull out, you know, our magnet coordinator would go, you know, we have resources that we can pull people out to get them to help in those surge situations. So we've been doing this. It's part of what we do on a daily basis as leaders.
So Governor Kathy Hochul, over the Thanksgiving holiday, issued a formal disaster declaration in regards to this public health emergency. And as part of that executive order, she announced what she said are steps that are kind of in line with what you're talking about, surge and flex capacity. Does anything that's being done at the state level with regards to capacity make a difference to a hospital like yours, or are you already doing all the policies that they're recommending or directing you to do?
I think there's a bit of a disconnect. If you go back to the executive orders that have been released during all of this, and then some of the executive orders that were just released a couple months ago around licensure, around being able to cross states, that hasn't helped us.
You're talking about staffing issues.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, that has not helped us. Now we've got this one that just came out about elective surgeries. As I just said, we've already been canceling elective surgeries. We've been canceling elective surgeries for 2 months. You know, this is the stuff that as leaders of healthcare organizations, we knew that we had to do, and we were already doing them. You know, so we're still looking at what is the structure that is potentially going to come out. But what I've been pleading to anybody from DOH who will listen and from our advocacy groups is what we need the help with is the nursing home capacity. I have been pleading this for months, saying we all knew we were going to get to this point because we were seeing the writing on the wall and seeing all of the nursing homes lose staff during this pandemic. And this is exactly what we knew was going to happen. The most help that we could get that will impact the hospitals is the nursing homes, plain and simple. That needs to be the focus.
And is there an obvious answer to this crisis that we just haven't utilized yet? Is it sending people in the Finger Lakes to New York City nursing homes that might not be overwhelmed? Is it something else? What needs to be done?
We're already doing that. We sent a guy 330 miles away for a long-term care replacement yesterday. We have been referring well over 100 miles to nursing homes. And the problem is some nursing homes are taking patients, but they're taking the rehab patients who, you know, spend 15 to 30 days in a nursing home, and then they're discharged. They're not accepting long-term care patients who will likely be there till they pass away. And that's the challenge. And you know, so what can be done? We've got to beef up staffing at the nursing home level. And I know that she has been talking about, the governor's been talking about, you know, calling up the National Guard and other reserves that are available to New York State. You know, we got to look, what are those numbers? What are we talking about?
Should it be done now?
Oh, no question. No question.
Should they also be rolling back the vaccine mandate specifically for nursing homes so they can increase their staffing capacity?
You know, that's a whole nother conversation and a whole nother issue. But, you know, if you look at it, what we have always begged for is a level playing field. There, in so many different areas, but there isn't a level playing field in New York State because we have this state mandate. You know, Pennsylvania doesn't have the same mandate. A lot of the other adjoining states don't have the same mandate. And this has had a huge impact on staffing. As you've heard, as we met each other last week, I support this vaccine more than anything else. It's the science is behind it. But I don't think that people, and I'm not putting this on anybody's individual shoulders, did not look at the data and analyze what the impact of this was going to be. And, you know, I mean, I told you, before COVID, we had 90 open positions. I now have 281. That's one hospital in New York State, you know, and, you know, the federal mandate is out there. There is still the religious exemption ability with the federal mandate, but not in New York State, you know. So are we losing people to other states? Absolutely. I know a ton of people who have left and have moved to other states because they can still practice as nurses. And, you know, we already had a significant gap in the number of nurses, the number of LPNs, the number of CNAs that we need in this state. I mean, you know, we heard the numbers. There's some projections that came out of a Department of Health study out of Cornell that New York State was short 35,000 nurses. That study was done, I think, 18, 24 months ago. That's only exacerbated and only worse.
And after a quick break, we'll continue our discussion about the current state of hospitals in New York and their fight against the pandemic with our guest, Michael Stapleton, president and CEO of UR Medicine Thompson Health out in the Finger Lakes.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.
In case you're just joining us, we're continuing our discussion about the challenges facing hospitals right now, especially a lack of staffing. And our guest is Michael Stapleton, president and CEO of University of Rochester Medicine Thompson Health out in the Finger Lakes. So from your corner of the world then, in the Finger Lakes specifically, do you think the vaccine mandate for healthcare workers has ultimately been negative for the public health of your region, even if it may have prevented, say, the transmission of COVID-19 to a certain degree?
Has it had an impact? There's no question it's had an impact. Prior to the vaccine, we were taking all the steps, following all the guidance to protect our associates, to protect our patients, to protect our residents. We know what we have to do to protect them. The right or wrong of a vaccine mandate is really a mute question, in my point. What my number one responsibility is advocating for my associates and protecting and taking care of this community. And it has been a real challenge to do it. And what has kind of been the tipping point for us? The mandate. It's the mandate along with the not recognizing the religious exemption. What I just beg and plead people to do is look at the data. You know, look at the data and make data-driven decisions. I know that there were nursing homes in this community that did not protect their residents and people died because of it. That's not our nursing home. I mean, we're a 5-star facility. But now we're a 4-star facility because of the staff that we lost due to the vaccine mandate. A state mandate decreased our star rating from the federal level from a 5 to a 4. We're incredibly proud of that 5-star rating. I think it's less than 10% of nursing homes in the country have a 5-star rating. And then a state mandate is what causes us to move down. That just doesn't make sense.
And for more than 9 months, your facilities were operating with staff who weren't vaccinated because there wasn't a vaccine available. And you obviously had to develop new infectious disease protocols to try to keep staff safe. Do you feel like, based on that experience and the high number of staff that you have vaccinated anyway, that there would be infectious disease protocols that you could put in place that could ensure that unvaccinated staff could work in different healthcare settings that you operate and not pose a risk to the people they're serving, themselves, and their colleagues?
There's no question, and the testing option has worked across the country. The data drives all of our decisions here, right? And one of the things that you know, when the data goes out, you got to dig deeper into the data. That I remember reading a headline that only 3% of healthcare workers lost their job in New York State when the mandate went into effect. You know what? If we were all 100% staffed, and so we went from 100 to 97 because we only lost 3%, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But healthcare facilities across the state are at 80% staffing levels. That's where we're all at. And when you go to 80 to 77, that makes a difference. And when you're talking to the larger health systems, you're talking to the academic medical centers, to the large systems, not only in our state, but across our country, they have a lot more resources to pull from. But when you're talking to a community hospital where you're at 1,800 is a lot of people. But when you've got individual people who have decades of institutional knowledge and experience and you lose them because of this, it presents a challenge. You know, we lost our stroke coordinator. We lost our magnet that leads to all of our magnet accreditation, does all of our work with that. We lost our most experienced orthopedic operating room nurse. You know, it's years of institutional knowledge that you lose. Are we better off because they're gone? I don't think so. Are our patients better off because they're not here? I don't think so. You know, but, you know, the mandate, we're past the mandate. You know, I tried to educate. I tried to just kind of express some common sense, you know, prior to it, but the mandate's gone. What our focus is now is trying to keep the morale up and protect the people that are here, protect the people that are continuing to come in very, very difficult circumstances.
What sort of guidance are you getting from the Hochul administration and the State Department of Health? And do they seem receptive to the concerns and suggestions that you might be raising if you are having any sort of dialogue with them?
2 weeks ago, we had to go on diversion. It was the first time in my career we've had to go on diversion. And we had to go on diversion because the acuity in the ED was just at a level that we needed to be able to kind of take a break, take a deep breath. We had 4 ICU patients that we didn't have beds for. So our 12-bed ICU was full. We had 4 more ICU patients in the ED. I had 12 to 15 med-surg boarders in the ED. And our ED, which is built for 24 people at both times, had over 44 patients in it. So we called the state surgeon flex line, told them that we needed to go on diversion.
What is diversion?
So diversion is basically we asked the EMS agencies to utilize other facilities in the area.
Gotcha.
Because just at a level that it is too busy. The reality is it doesn't make a huge impact because 85% of our patients that come into emergency rooms come in through the front door. Mm-hmm. They don't come in via ambulance, right? So. But you do hope that it decreases the acuity for a couple of minutes while you take a deep breath. So, you know, they start going through their data and like, well, who did you call? And I'm like, well, we called all the hospitals that could appropriately take ICU patients in Buffalo. We called all of them in Syracuse. We already knew all the ones in Rochester had no beds. And they're like, well, our data says you still have 29 ICU beds available in the Finger Lakes region. I'm like, your data's wrong. No, we don't. Right. And, you know, there was nobody else. So Thursday, when we went on diversion, the state did call us back and said there's beds available in Albany. You know, so I'm supposed to walk into an ED room with the ED attending or the ED attending and tell this family member who's going through the most stressful thing that they probably have ever gone through that we're now going to transfer your loved one to Albany, New York from Canandaigua. That's not a reasonable decision. You know, that's not the right answer either. There's no right answers in all of this. But, you know, I can tell you that it is just, it's a perfect storm, as I said. We are seeing increased numbers of COVID. People need to get vaccinated. People need to follow the science. We can't move people out. And we have staffing issues on top of it. It's just that it really is a perfect storm, which, by the way, is not going to get better. If you and I were going to have this conversation next week, I guarantee it's worse. It's going to be worse the week after because everybody's gathering for the holidays, right? We're right in the middle of Hanukkah. Christmas is coming. Kwanzaa's coming. We just finished Thanksgiving. You know, families getting together. The COVID numbers are just going to keep going up and up. And as I said, what we're all concerned about is flu on top of it.
Well, sticking with the information flow, both to the state and from the state, do you feel like this experience is similar to what you've gone through throughout the pandemic, regardless of whether it's Governor Kathy Hochul or Governor Andrew Cuomo?
We've had different parts of the pandemic, right? I mean, New York City is who got pummeled in the beginning.
Right.
And you know, we kind of sat up here saying, what can we do to help? You want our ventilators? Sure, I can free up a ventilator. You want this? But we weren't impacted by it. I mean, you know, we spent 12 hours a day kind of refining policies, refining this, because we weren't seeing a lot of volume. And then, you know, the summer came and it was a big lull. And then everything has just started to creep up going back to a year from now when we really got hit with the first holiday surge. And, you know, I just think that overall, I do think there's a disconnect. You know, what we're seeing and what we've been dealing with on the front lines through all of this is not necessarily perceived in the reality of the data they're collecting. You know, and that's whether you're talking about people who advocate on our behalf or other people in DOH who are looking at, you know, just a copious amounts of data that we have to send in on a daily basis. You know, when you know, and this is what the challenge is. You have people in Albany making decisions about data that's not right. You know, we're calling and we're going on diversion, and according to them, they're seeing data that says there's 29 ICU beds available in the Finger Lakes region of Western New York. No, there aren't. You know, so the data's not right. I mean, and who is not submitting the accurate data? And that's a problem when you have all these data points, but there's inaccurate data. You know, so, you know, you need to trust but verify your data. We talk about that all the time sitting around our executive table.
Is there a way to fix that then? I mean, should the counties serve as a conduit between hospitals and the state? Because it seems like what you're saying is whatever the current dynamic is, isn't working.
Yeah, I just think we're all being stressed. We're all being stretched. And, you know, you got to talk to the people on the front line. You know, you want to know what's going on. You know, I loved Colin Powell, right? You know, Colin Powell passed away four weeks ago. I think he's one of the best leaders this country has ever had. But his second rule of leadership was this: the frontline soldier is always right, the rear echelon general is always wrong, right? You want to know what's going on, you go to the front lines. You know, you ask that person. And I talk about this in my orientation every Monday. I have the utmost respect for my chief nursing officer. I love her. Right? She's incredible at the job that she does. But if I want to know what's going on in nursing in this hospital, I don't go ask her. I don't walk 40 feet out of my office. I go talk to the nurses. I go on the units and you talk to them and you have an ideal, you know, you get a very clear picture of what's happening. And, you know, one of the things that I think is a challenge is that you've got such a different level of hospitals throughout this country, right? You have all these, you know, you have the large academic medical centers with all of their resources doing just incredible life-saving work every single day. But the vast majority of hospitals in our country are community hospitals, right? And so if in the past what you're doing is you're talking to the people who lead the largest academic medical centers, they're not speaking on behalf of the vast majority of hospitals in the country. And that's something that we've got to make sure that we're doing. And you know, I've brought that up to Haney. You know, you got to talk to all of them. You just can't talk to a select few and say, are you doing okay? And right now, you look at the governor's data, you know, downstate is not dealing with what upstate's dealing with. You know, when New York City was the epicenter of COVID, upstate wasn't dealing with what downstate was, right? And so you can't have a one-size-fits-all. And, you know, what it all comes down to is I've just said over and over to go back, people got to get vaccinated. You know, we are so tired. We are so stretched. This health system across the state is at a breaking point. And unless more people get vaccinated, unless people are smart, unless people mask, this isn't going away.
Out in Erie County, where they're seeing the almost worst of the worst in upstate right now, their county executive has reimposed a mask mandate for public indoor settings, regardless of vaccination status. Would something like that in the Finger Lakes region make a difference to your challenges right now?
Anything people can do that can mitigate the spread of COVID is going to help, right? And it's not only going into the flu season, and I keep bringing it up, it also helps mitigate the flu. Why did we not have a flu season last year? Because nobody was out. Nobody was doing anything. And when they did, they were wearing masks and they were practicing social distancing, right? People got to be smart. They got to protect themselves. And does wearing masks help? Yeah. I mean, next to the vaccine, it's the best thing you can do to protect yourselves and your loved ones is wear your mask in public settings. You know, so will that help? Of course it will help. There's no question that will help. You know, shutting everything down, is that going to help? No, nobody wants to go back to that, right? But we got to be smart. And the way people can be, you know, the smartest thing people can do is get vaccinated. But then when you are out in public, I do plead for people, wear your mask, practice social distancing, be smart, you know, and take care of yourselves.
And how are you doing with supplies that might help either prevent the spread of COVID-19 and also treat patients who have COVID, PPE and ventilators?
We have had no issues with supplies. Our material management folks, Steve Harrington leads our materials management, and being part of the university too, that is one thing that I have never woke up in the middle of the night worried that I don't have enough gowns, masks, gloves for our nurses to safely take care of people. That's never been an issue for us.
Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there. We've been speaking with Michael Stapleton. He's the president and CEO of UR Medicine, Thompson Health. Thank you so much for making the time, Mike, and I hope we can check in with you in the future for this snapshot from what's actually going on the ground with this battle.
Absolutely. Happy to help, and stay safe, everybody.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.